You found the Viceroy Great Books Podcast. Welcome. We think Christian men of all flavors can pull insights from historical writers about how to govern more and govern well, so the king gets max glory. To start, we will explore Marcus Aurelius' Meditations. Now, he was a pagan emperor, Roman emperor. We know that. We know he was pagan, but that doesn't stop us. We think that there's some real treasure here. We'll follow that with a 15th century monk theologian Thomas Aquinas, The Imitation of Christ. We plan to chunk and chew it, bit by bit, sub-20-minute episodes. And your host, both of us, two old friends, will do our best to contextualize and make commentary about how it can apply to us today. We'd love it if you'd join us. You're welcome to more resources at theviceroyproject.com, where you can find out more about how to join the Viceroy community, where we meet together on an app. Take care. Okay, welcome to episode 5 of the Viceroy Great Books podcast. Again, you can always find out more about us on theviceroyproject.com. And today we're going to talk about the stepfather that was such a good and wise advisor to Marcus Aurelius in his Meditations. Take it away.
Excellent. In my translation, I do not have phrases such as "I learned," so they seem to be a little bit abrupt. So I'll just go ahead and read that. From my adopted father, these are the things he learned. Compassion, unwavering adherence to decisions once he'd reached them. Indifference to superficial honors, hard work, persistence. Listening to anyone who could contribute to the public good. His dogged determination to treat people as they deserved. A sense of when to push and when to back off. Putting a stop to the pursuit of boys. His altruism. Not expecting his friends to keep him entertained at dinner or to travel with him unless they wanted to, and anyone who had to stay behind to take care of something always found him the same when he returned. His searching questions at meetings, a kind of single-mindedness almost, never content with first impressions or breaking off the discussion prematurely. His constancy to friends, never getting fed up with them or playing favorites. Self-reliance, always. And cheerfulness, and his advanced planning well in advance, and his discreet attention to even minor things, his restrictions on acclamation and all attempts to flatter him, his constant devotion to the empire's needs, his stewardship of the treasury, his willingness to take responsibility and blame for both, his attitude to the gods, no superstitiousness, and his attitude to men, no demagoguery, no currying favor, no pandering, always sober, always steady, and never vulgar or a prey to fads. The way he handled the material comforts that fortune had supplied him in such abundance, without arrogance and without apology, if they were there, he took advantage of them. If not, he didn't miss them. No one ever called him glib or shameless or pedantic. They saw him for what he was, a man tested by life, accomplished, unswayed by flattery, qualified to govern both himself and them. His respect for people who practice philosophy, at least those who were sincere about it, but without denigrating the others or listening to them. His ability to feel at ease with people and put them at their ease without being pushy. His willingness to take adequate care of himself, not a hypochondriac or obsessed with his appearance, but not ignoring things either. With the result that he hardly ever needed medical attention or drugs or any sort of salve or ointment. This in particular, his willingness to yield the floor to experts in oratory, law, psychology, whatever, and to support them energetically so that each of them could fulfill his potential. That he respected tradition without needing to constantly congratulate himself for safeguarding our traditional values. Not prone to go off on tangents or pulled in all directions, but sticking with the same old places and the same old things. The way he could have one of his migraines and then go right back to what he was doing, fresh and at the top of his game. That he had so few secrets, only state secrets, in fact, and not that many of them. The way he kept public actions within reasonable bounds, games, building projects, distributions of money, and so on, because he looked to what needed doing and not the credit to be gained from doing it. No bathing at strange hours, no self-indulgent building projects, no concern for food or the cut and color of his clothes or having attractive slaves, the robe from his farm at Lorium, most of the things at Lavanium, the way he accepted the customs agent's apology at Tusculum. He never exhibited rudeness lost control of himself, or turned violent. No one ever saw him sweat. Everything was to be approached logically and with due consideration in a calm and orderly fashion, but decisively and with no loose ends. You could have said of him, as they say of Socrates, that he knew how to enjoy and abstain from things that most people find it hard to abstain from and all too easy to enjoy. Strength, perseverance, self-control, in both areas, the mark of a soul in readiness, indomitable.
Okay, so this was not his actual biological father, no. But this is the man that he learned how to be emperor from.
Yes.
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 Okay, so there was a lot here.
There was a lot here.
Okay. Staying away from passions for boys, good counsel.
Yeah, excellent.
I mean, what the heck? Mm. Well, these guys were Romans, and they did all kinds of strange things.
Yeah.
Not bathing at inappropriate hours. Just the other night, I took a late shower and wondered, perhaps this is an inappropriate hour
sure.
for me to be taking this shower.
Sure.
I don't know. Okay.
But also, how nice if the worst thing anyone can say about him is, you know, sometimes he just, like, takes a shower in the middle of the afternoon.
Right.
Who does that? Can you
imagine? Right. Oh. This guy. I like that sometimes he had migraine headaches.
Yeah.
And you know what? He'd just get right back to work right after it.
Just get right there.
And he wouldn't obsess over his body, or he wasn't a hypochondriac, so he didn't, like, get too fixated on it. And but he also didn't neglect his appearance either. So
right.
he was the right amount of care.
Yeah. I like the way it talks about the way he says that he handled the material comforts that fortune had supplied him. Like, if certain comforts were there, he took advantage of them, but if not, he didn't miss them.
Yeah.
This morning, I was in full-blown grumble that we were out of Oreos.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
just blew up your world.
It did. I just had a moment where I had to calm down and be like, why do I need 3 Oreos every morning of my life with my coffee? You know?
Right.
So I read that and was instantly like, dude, you just got thrown off tilt by an Oreo shortage.
Yeah.
You know?
So unlike a Roman emperor of you. I like that he was and to be ever watchful over the things which were necessary for the administration of the empire. This idea of I function within a specific role. And so the concern and the good of Rome is my great concern, and that's the thing that I focus on the most. That's great. I wish all of our politicians thought that way. What would be really good for the nation versus that guy who keeps writing me all those checks? Let's see. He didn't court people or flatter people.
No.
I think this is interesting because we just read a book in Viceroy Book Club last quarter on Alfred the Great and how, you know, the first Anglo-Saxon king, one of the things he was known for was actually bestowing gifts. And he gave rings as positions of honor. And this kind of seems to be out of joint with this. But I think that Alfred was really doing it from a, these people have shown dedication and fought to their possible death in these shield wall battles. And so I will honor, it's sort of like putting a medal of honor over a man's neck for combat versus trying to curry favor.
Hmm.
I think that might be the difference. Well, we talked about health and steadiness and not
well, going back to the health thing, I think it's hilarious that he says, with the result of all that, not being a chondriac, he hardly ever needed medical attention or drugs. And then mine also says, are any salves or ointments?
Oh, man.
I mean, my gosh, we are...
We've got a lot of ointments, don't we?
We do. I mean, we are essential oil. We are so pampering of ourselves. And, yeah, I mean, just even this morning, me needing the Oreos, how pampered I am, you know?
Yes.
And to think this guy is an emperor. He has the funds.
Yeah.
He's got the pillows.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And he's like, nah, man, nah. I'm gonna have rough skin. I'm gonna have bad hair, possibly some dandruff.
Yeah.
Because guess what's more important?
That's right.
Yeah, moving forward, not feeling good about it. I don't know. That's tough stuff.
That is tough. Also, I would tell you that I would feel chagrined if I had to like ask my son, "Hey, can you run over and grab me some new ointments?" Like, I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to look at myself in the mirror. I'd be like, what kind of man am I?
So you've never asked one of your sons to go to the medicine cabinet and grab a Neosporin?
No. No, no, no.
And you never said, go get me a Band-Aid?
No. Go get Pappy his ointments? No. Yeah. I can't imagine doing something
like
that.
I'm going to need a little of that Bengay.
Right. Right, right, right.
We got another one here that says, not prone to go off on tangents or pulled in all directions, but sticking with the same old places and the same old things. That's, I don't know. There's another thing in here. I wish I could find it, but talking about not being drawn into fads.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. I mean, this guy was, he knew what the path was. He stuck to the path. He wasn't swayed by the popular word of the day. I love Josh Gibbs,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, you're familiar with Josh Gibbs, mm-hmm. and his Love What Lasts, and how he encourages his children. Like he said, I'd rather my kids listen to like David Bowie than Taylor Swift. Why? Because he was like, I want my kids to not take their cues over what's important or what's good based on the moment.
Right.
Like what's being touted as like, this is what's really great right now. He said, I want them to develop some level of taste where they have a reason for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, even in that, you're training your children not to be so easily swayed,
mm-hmm.
even in theological issues, even in political issues, you're teaching them to like kind of lick their finger and hold it in the air and be like, I don't like the direction that wind's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little too, it's a little too something. I don't know. But I really like that just sticking to the ancient paths, not prone to go off on tangents, pulled in all directions. Once you start giving your opinions and your preferences to the zeitgeist, you're just gone. You're just chaff in the wind. You know? So
blown,
I thought
everywhere.
That was good.
I was also just thinking that nobody ever sold Marcus Aurelius or his father any sort of essential oils.
No.
Okay, not just because it was a salve, an ointment, but also because it was a fad, too, and also the superstition.
Sure.
He wasn't going to have it for any one of those reasons.
I do love the lavender, though.
Yeah, it helps you sleep, right?
It does. I like it.
All right. Okay, well, there is yet another episode in the bag. So again, you can visit us at theviceroyproject.com. Take care.